taller than me, so I'd understand it. But I think we probably won't even need a microphone at all. Anyhow, I'm going to read a whole wide mixture of poems tonight. Somebody asked me recently why I write, and I love story. It's one of the reasons that I'm more, at this stage, I see myself more of a children's writer than a writer for adults. I absolutely love story. I love beginning, middle, and end, or sometimes beginning, middle, and no end. That some of my teenage fiction would actually have no end at all, because it's left for the reader to finish the story. But when it comes to poetry, when it's children's poetry, sometimes I like to tell story. Sometimes I like purely to entertain, and I'll read some of the more humorous poems tonight. Some of them won't translate. I'm going to read with prose translations, with translations of some poems that others have done for me. I'm not a great translator myself, and I was reared with a mix of English and Irish. It's not that I don't have English, it's simply I'm a bad translator. But I'll read a mixture. Some of the translations will be just prose. In some cases, where poems just don't translate. You know, if you tell a joke in a different language and it's just a lead balloon. So those ones I'll give us an English introduction to rather than a translation. When it comes to adult poetry, my poetry is mostly about voice, about giving a voice to those who, for one reason or another, have been deprived of their own voice, have lost their voice. I think it's summed up by a translation that I've done of, I'm not sure if you'd call it a poem or a saying, by the German pastor Martin Niemöller, who wrote at one stage, and this is my translation of it, Hanader is hugadar loan comunic, near laurius mach, mar nor humunach me. Hanader rish is hugadar loan a kyard comunic, neither me tata, near a vein vine to gumsa, a card from a reef. Honother is hugger loan a gildig. Near a skias, my veil. Near a vein a gildig, misha. Honother a reish is hugger misha, though. Near a vein than a falca, a lauro hamach, a mahansa. First they came and took the communists. I didn't speak out. I wasn't a communist. Next they came and took the trade unionists. I didn't speak out. I wasn't a trade unionist. Next they took the Jews, and I was okay, I wasn't a Jew. Then they came and took me away. There was nobody left to speak out for me. So I suppose when I try to give a voice to people who can't speak out for themselves, this would include everything from child sex abuse, to Alzheimer's, to suicide, death of a child, a whole range of topics. And I'm going to start with a few poems on old age, senility, Alzheimer's, all that area. And with that in mind, I mean, I sometimes think my mother died about 3 years ago, and my mother was in a nursing home for the last few years of her life. And while she wandered in and out of senility, she wasn't an Alzheimer's patient, but on one occasion when I was in to see her in the nursing home where she was at a particular time, and I think I was pregnant at the time with my young son over here, who's now 14, but I was out to here pregnant, and I was coming down in the lift in the nursing home, and there were three old women on Zimmer frames standing at the door of the lift. And as I came out, there was no question of them moving. And I sort of waddled my way around them with great difficulty. And they still weren't moving, and they were all staring into the lift. And there was, you know, these lifts that had a mirror halfway. So the upper half was a mirror, and they were staring into the mirror. And I came out and I held the door for them. And there was no move. So they stood there, staring. I held the door again, and I just said, ladies, are you going in? And one of them said, no, we're waiting for that crowd to come out. So it always strikes me that with senility Alzheimer's, all these areas, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. So you actually have to laugh. And I mean, some of the poems that I wrote here had a little bit of my mother in them. Some of them had other people in them. And my mother, in her later years, with all the daft things she did, she gave us some great laughs as well as lots of tears. And this particular one was written very much about her at a particular phase. And it's called Iderlin. And it's Iderlin being sort of that half world between life and another life. Myron she, in Iderlin, in will anamnacha gluin umalon os thought that. Dawn imaloch, in a rowan the fuckin, dearach salamwin and she had born a tanganach. Ach dearach she a ancient bit, a cream, gudian tunsa, kivet shukris, bina, a ayak she, gachi le yachtan than hugger. Is Cain Shoppa, in a vifa, on a hyundai the bar. Dearach she, gach price a eshdru, gashkillingacha is shanafing an ee. Ach ni eildach si a balachi a nil wai loon siopa, na inchin bit, cain fo a rev si awn si chi a boid. She lives in a half world, where names can be a generation out of date. A margin world, where words freeze before they slip off the tip of the tongue. Yet she could tell you to the very ounce how much sugar and milk she got each week during the war and which shop was generous in its ration. She could translate every price to shillings and old pence. Yet she couldn't find her way home from the shop, nor tell you why she was there in the first place. On the same note, somebody said to me once, you know, that the great thing about Alzheimer's is that you go on meeting new people every day. And this is the sadder side of that. Stone cherry, strangers. Dushian chi chilwaidu, imask na stone cherry kiona sa tach altrinish. Banian doivarish than hildur, I roplita eganvatius, hon ura noho gaida of lasha. She wakes up every morning to the same strangers in the nursing home. She greets them yet again for the first time. Too overcome with fear to enjoy the freshness of the moment. And staying on the same subject for another one, there was an Alzheimer's patient that I met once who ended up in a nursing home because she had to leave her home. And the reason she had to leave her home was that all the characters from the television programs had come out and taken over her home. And they were making tea in the kitchen. And she finally decided she had to leave. And the particular television program was The Reardons, which would have been on when I was a child. And there was Tom and Mary Reardon. They were a farming family. And they literally used to come out, make tea in the kitchen, and there was no room in the inn for her to sit down. So she actually voluntarily signed herself into a nursing home in Galway. Now, I changed the story somewhat, and I invited the Duckworths from Carnation Street in, right? So Jack and Vera Duckworth from Carnation Street. Cuidori, visitors. In a sea, Sahahir the Vishir. On log or huil, Jack is Vera Duckworth, amach as in television. Quail dear amach as in sky, lawn a third she, can ir this gavar le shgil. Vishi chuth, auras o her douche, na dahana ro vogh da suile, ach ar nui diad fieshin a chorn the yart gan vril, is ha creador gavanadish. Clock, Jack, terrible, sna lahani grasiachta, glawnig amach ar bawl, on cwr gordin o fesige, fechyn tymryf sfos, doch lwyr. Tag y gysdech, a dwyt si fein ar bawl, ta mil y ffoet yr oedd, dilyg i ffwrgwyt hen dyn tech. Ni refion ho, dy cwyrre. She was sitting in that chair, that very chair over there, the day that Jack and Vera Duckworth walked out of her television. Straight out of the television screen, she said, straight out without a by your leave. They were dubious at first. The colour's a bit soft on their eyes. Nothing you couldn't fix, though, with a lick of paint. and they decided to stay. Jack took refuge in the racing pages, slipped out the back to check space for his pigeons. Well, that was his story. "Come in," she said, after a while. "You're very welcome. And make yourselves at home." But they already had. And on a different topic, again thinking of voice, there's a particular poem that I'm going to read called Postuna. And Postuna gave this collection its title. And so I'm just checking the page number here. Postuna was written about teenage suicide. And I was lecturing a young man who committed suicide, and I knew his mother very well. And this particular poem tries to take, not specifically his case, but all the cases we all know about, because I think there isn't a household who hasn't been touched in some way, at some stage, by the suicide, particularly of young men. And I think what everybody, particularly the parents, are plagued and tortured with the questions, with the why. And this poem is written through the eyes of the mother who retraces his steps on a daily basis, the steps of her son, trying to find answers that she'll never find. And I used the word in the beginning, Aryan. Aryan is a great word in Irish, because Aryan has every meaning in terms of senses. It's to sense something. It can be to know, to smell. In fact, there was a woman up in Donegal once who was trying to say that she had smelt something, and she got her English mixed up. She didn't have much Irish, and she was saying, "Ari Darig me an Bola," and she translated it to somebody, and she said, "I heard the smell," right? But Aryan is used here right through it, so Postuna silences. Aryan chi an difriad idir Postuna. An toste yemen cún shgliachí las shana grian graf. Tostna skuina hánig din erhwine is ar inna covrón lis an spas os gion a gulna. Úrinta, píran si na Postuna. Tostna lawr a bhi all eif. An toste fraban chuhi as lehen a cead da hatsan í mar ar lagu si is an lawr. Íha inig íha. Siúran si balach na crisha. Lauren was ord, the tostan rachta, tostan ropa, tost stoilin the three gos, tost na gos shin an orde, ach riev ni ilan iri, ach makala a glower fein. She knows the difference between silences. The silence that screams out from an old photo. The silence of the queue of people sympathising one by one with the space beyond her shoulder. Sometimes she tears the silences apart. The silence of the book that you were reading. The silence of page 149 where you left it down. Night after night, she walks the way of your cross. Talks out loud to the silence of the rafter, the silence of the rope, the silence of the upturned stool. But all she ever hears is the echo of her own silence. And moving on from the sublime to the totally and absolutely ridiculous, I'm going to read a poem that this poem was on the Leaving Cert for a few years. And it's a poem called Gaelth, Lunatic. But it's Gaelth with a question mark. It's not really just Gaelth, it's Gaelth. And it's based on a story of something that actually happened. But nothing in the poem is actually for real. But this is the story, the backstory, if you could call it that, was where a friend of mine was working as a student, when we were all students a long time ago. This friend of mine was working on the buses in Dublin. And he was basically an inspector who hopped on and off and checked that people had tickets. And on one particular day, the bus pulled up outside the mental hospital in Dundrum in Dublin. and a man got on, sat down, and it was only after about 10 minutes people realised that he wasn't wearing a coat, he was wearing a dressing gown and pyjamas, and I think his feet were bare. And he had just walked out the gate. He was completely and absolutely harmless. But what struck me afterwards was that, according to my friend, there was a fair bit of panic on the bus. So this is my story. Of course, I'd never admit to exaggerating or anything, but Lixie. Gelt. Leid gelt in order vos a sé deog in ee agus pijami per. Striogi lia is staragorn. Hi sé si a sinacila far a rev baldeir agus briefcase air. Rúg an xeatúr graim an dina voiter a briefcase. Trí hi a chán si a swai. Crosóin dan a chosa. Rúg mohar graim an dina voiter ar a poiste. Diach an poiste ar a nialt. Rinna an hialt, man gyl môr mantach doire. Lawn tmon i le far an depo. Lawr far an depo le loch 999. Fwy se loch doi toyn ar dwy sys, diffrig siat sy'n de, on nef an hialt in weil no tre hynna, no in orde ar cran. Ni ref. Frish an far doi toyn an dina. Plan an tmon i, sro alish da eadam. Eichnias a sreche the hugger a rug like a blush of gout in the pyjama yeah where fiss are na bloody gordi honig na gordi is glamour the run boar moi rath ar nain honig an tarum is leather pef hir an agar aha machine honig crochta honig na dach duri lily gwyd stialary is le feish to kengel honig on bus fi faran briefcase boite in a chwydalish veinig. Fi briste on tamon i, drwch. Fi ben na gos crosoite, fos crosoite. Fi rwmi a fi le fe hynifig war i stoed candon lawr y glio i'n y nish i rach ar noen. Fi yn poeste extona ar yng ngalt. Fi yn ngalt ag sŵbryl y cnapi a ffijami e fos ag goer i gymantach. Stab yn bos. Dordig o'n ngalt i gan. Dahan si eidoch dŵr. Dahan an vesh kengel. Is e fose gairi, leim she suas, is remach an duras. Is dach i lova an doctura. Is dach se vesh de vegan lova. Is dig se vos, flask, os na fwishe. Nir lawer ach an poishte. A mami, kien fa nach lig fa domsum, of a jammy a chahat ar a nos. Do you need a translation? Yes, okay. A lunatic jumped on 16 bus yesterday. Wearing pyjamas, grey and red striped pyjamas. He sat down beside a man who wore a bowler hat and briefcase. The poor man clutched his briefcase. Three seats away, a woman crossed her legs. A mother clutched her child. The child stared at the lunatic, who smiled a great big gaping smile. The driver called up the depot. The depot man called 999. He got the fire brigade at first. They asked him, was the lunatic in danger or on fire or caught up a tree? He wasn't. The fireman hung up. The driver cleared the sweat off his brow. Christ, he screamed, whispering for fear the lunatic in pyjamas might hear him. The guards, sorry, Christ, he whispered, call the bloody Gordy. The guards arrived. They cleared the road out in Rathfarnham. The army arrived and lay down on the ground, machine guns poised. The doctors arrived with their syringes and a straitjacket. The bus arrived. The briefcase man was drenched in his own sweat. The driver's trousers were wet. The cross-legged woman was still cross-legged. A secretary who should have been in Camden Street a half an hour ago was now in Rathfarnham. The child just stared at the lunatic. The lunatic played with the buttons on his pyjamas, still smiling his gaping smile. The bus stopped. The lunatic looked up. He recognised the doctor. He recognised the straitjacket. Still smiling, he jumped up, ran out the door into the arms of the doctor, into the straitjacket that had no arms. Inside the bus, Everyone exploded with a sigh of relief. But only the child spoke. Mummy, why can't I wear my pyjamas on the bus? And we'll stay with the lighter ones for a moment. Staying with some very light-hearted ones. There's one here that I'm going to read. Now, I'm not sure if it'll actually translate. It's a love poem. But it's not your ordinary love poem. And what I'll do is, coming near the end, I'll stop and summarise rather than translate. So I'll read, I'll summarise, and then I'll finish it. Because I think to understand the end of it, you're going to have to understand the first section. It's called Heartbreak, and it's a poem of unrequited love. And this is from a collection for children. And Carol Vatera from London illustrated this collection. And she's the most amazing illustrator in this world. She hasn't a word of Irish, but we sat down and worked together through two collections. We worked poem after poem with translations, and she wanted to catch every nuance of humour. So she would stick with the poem until she understood what was behind it. But this particular poem is called Broken Hearted or Heartbreak. Is Bjorni, is even the way, Sheelam, Gwilym, in Raleigh. In fact, what I'll do is I'll just summarise each verse as I go. I love her. I think that I'm in love with her. Bovirol am a quid gruig a hira la mavera, mori yunach me le gruig mawami fado. I'd love to run my fingers through her hair, like I used to do with my mommy's hair long ago. Shasin egin thuris her maitu, is egin yata tronona, a suin na rarach o on iri. I stand at the door each morning, at the gate in the afternoon, waiting to catch the tiniest glimpse of her. Is Bjolami, is even the me, Tomachri ishtig in Raleigh. I love her, my heart jumps for her. Pleskin machri, gach ila ura ekami, ektat imachro. My heart explodes every time I see her near. Bilmo veil er laha, is snaim arayana, agseik shul harm. My jaw drops, my tongue knots, as she walks by. Ach, ken fathom e, but what use is it all? Riav na chia, ni vrani an kalini, ramadho, ermini an ain vora. What use is it all? Never, ever, ever do the girls in second class even look at the senior infants. So, and staying with light-hearted ones, this particular collection is called Bring Loity August Ashter Ella, Dreams and Other Journeys. And it's a mix of serious and light, but the dreams are not your average ordinary dream. The dreams are the dreams that animals might have. So I have given the animals their voice, their dreams. And I'm going to read two of the dreams of the dinosaur. There's a whole series of dreams that actually runs as a theme throughout the book. And you have everything from the mouse dreaming of revenge on the cat to the lion who imagines himself walking through a zoo full of people as he eats child fingers and chips. And the dinosaur is in the museum. Bring Lloyd on dinosaur. Ni franian er yesh nor hle. Osclean movel birgoni. Su home er lohana onola. Yum. Turishk snanuchton er maiden. Buchel ella er eri o haspantus nanina sar. Kamal bi o keshtu ignagor bi. Dinosaur dreaming. I look neither left nor right. Just open my bony mouth a little. Suck him in on a breath of air. Yum. In the morning, the newspaper reports another boy gone missing from the dinosaur exhibition. The keeper is being questioned by the Gardaí. And the second dinosaur dream, Bring Lloyd Ella, Egan dinosaur. Shulam, Bond dinosaur, Alden. Ich dach, Doris nicht ist von einer. Pitty me dim raw. Deal the meat in a healed dinosaur of yoga. The Shaska Kulik Vinum Bleen. A female dinosaur walks in the museum door. We fall in love. We make the first baby dinosaurs for 65 million years. So that's dinosaur dreaming. And I'm going to go back to something very heavy again. And back in the 90s, in the early 90s, myself and somebody else who was working in journalism at the time, I worked in radio journalism for a number of years, freelance and for RTE and for Radio God. And myself and somebody else were starting to put a programme series together on child sexual abuse. And at the time, and it's a measure of the times, in the early 90s, RTE turned it down because their legal affairs department was afraid of libeling anyone. Now, when you look at what has happened in RTE in the last year, where they've got very careless with their legal affairs department and they allow people to be libeled, it's quite scary. But in those days, they just didn't want to know. And it was before Mary Raftery made her TV documentaries that she followed on a year or two later. But most of the poems and research, well, sorry, most of the research that I had done for the series ended up going into poetry. And some of it's heavy, so I'm just going to read two poems from two different collections. This one was actually translated by Padraig O'Snodic, and it came out with Daedalus Press in a bilingual collection. And it's the only bilingual collection I have. But it's called Me Fain Is To Fain. And what I did in the whole series, there are about 10 or 12 poems in the sequence. And what I did basically is I just took recurring images from the research I had done, images that stayed with me. This particular one is based on grooming. And it's where the paedophile grooms the child and then plays the game, but suddenly the game takes on a sinister turn. And it's called Tu Fain Is Me Fain. And I took one image from my own childhood, growing up in Tipperary. I took an image where one of the things we used to do as children, and I don't know whether it was done all over the country, but in the schoolyard, we used to make grass houses. And we would build walls that height of grass. And we'd all go in the schoolyard visiting each other's houses. So I took that image of the game from my own childhood and then brought in the images from the research after that. Tu Fain Is Me Fain, yourself and myself. Hogamer Teach Fair, Tu Fain Is Me Fain. Ig Bun Un Von Eir. The Free Score Bleam Do The Crumma. Ach Fos, Bina Bali, Go Hard Lum Fain. Chnagtu Ar Chlocken Verish. Bunish Teach. Is your daddy to some mom? A dirt could shave. Is me fill of earth, his upper on day. Dolomer tea, as capomin, yoga vrega. Tell him earth the hurry, passion on leave, when deep. Is van. When two penumer as bad in the kishtana. The three score plain from a flocha. Diariamer. Glanda the cure surme. Fog machid fallen lishin griech the lice. Is Dillamer, to fain is me fain, yach mavar, yach de nina. Ach pei strak eachant, a hugum harma hula, fecum foso am gechela, on kshirt oskilta, a dog to imala nikishtana. Yourself and myself. We built a grass house, yourself and myself, at the foot of the meadow. You hunched under your 80 years, me no higher than the walls. You knocked on our stone door. You came in. I'll be daddy, you be mam, you said softly, and I'll be coming home from my day's work. We drank tea out of little toy cups. Come on, my love, it's time for bed. Strip off. I stripped. You plucked a pillow from the kitchen wall. Your 80 years stifled me. we got up. You cleaned me with your handkerchief, you kissed my blood to heal the wound, and we went home, yourself and myself, to my mother's, your daughter's house. But whatever glance I throw over my shoulder, I still see from time to time the gaping wound you left in the kitchen wall. On the same theme, I'm going to read one more poem on that theme, and it's a poem called On Kaleen Ahelk Ishtak Savoishtak, the girl who used to go into the rain. The image this time is taken from something that a lot of victims of trauma, victims of any sort of abuse do, this split, that the soul, the mind leaves the body. And if you talk to shamanic healers, the shamans or shamans will go with somebody on a soul journey, on a shamanic journey, and help to retrieve the lost soul, the lost part of the soul. But this is based on the idea of the child splitting. And just to escape the trauma, so the child is no longer present when the incident occurs. On Kaleen, the child who went into the rain. Suil Dior Erfonen of Winoiga. Quishla Boishti Yer Yilman Ti. Rehan A Aimshu. Marshin A Hosiakshe. Brem Aranu. Bremer Le. Eel Anwind. Eel Oskilt. Eelu Lehi Ishtach. Horliach Sheik Achil Ramnok, Gudirk Shimmer Shim, Ishtach Savoishtach. Gachil Ramnok. Eglahur Trishte, Deliakshi Lehi Ishtach, Mreum Voshti. Urinta, Virgirion Voshtach, Aimshu, Pirishtik, Dalflegen, Dalsaulich, Dairikshin Niba Eska, the Rerichela, Muravach Lask, Osmecha. Hesh Trivini, Ariach Shiel Fiel. Trivia, Is Hosiakan Voshtach Loyach, Egrinka, a Kushlu and a Tlegan, a Luhia is a Ariach Shea Kress and Oil. Trivi Elephos is near Gordiach Koshke or Hushin down Spira. Tevishtig the Vlian, Virchi Stigs of Rainbow Sti, La Plaba and Durish is a Mohrik or Ephraim. On Vertigo, Imaha, Loanish, Erhi, Avira Nafain, Achfos, Gahila Wajan Dalmig. Alien Chile Ishtach Savoishtach Lask Osmacha Brainer Le Lask Imaha Osmacha Oam Gichela Tienshis of Widaniri Tach Maharish Akshin Shkielele Dawn Ele. A rivulet of tears on the window pane. The pulse of rain on the roof. Find a rhythm. That's how it began. Pick a dot, a drop. A specific drop. Follow it. Open it. Escape inside. That's how it began. Every Sunday she would escape into the rain. Every Sunday at 10:30 she went into a raindrop. Sometimes she had to conjure up the rain inside her head, inside her imagination. That got easier as time went by, like the flick of a switch. After 3 months, she felt no pain. Three more, and the rain would start straight away to dance, to pulse in her head, as soon as she sensed his hungry breath. 3 months more, and she only had to hear his footstep on the stairs. Within a year, she'd be into that raindrop at the slam of the door, as her mother went out to mass. Both of them gone now, but still, every single Sunday morning, she escapes into the rain. The flick of a switch, pick a drop, a switch gone out of control. Sometimes she can't find her way back out again, but that's another story. kind of fine. And I'm going to finish off with a few light-hearted poems again. Well, sort of a mix. I wrote a series of poems about emigrants in London, and I called them the Poygene sequence. And Poygene is a sort of an everyman. He was every Irishman in London who slept in a cardboard box behind Waterloo Station and came home once a year trying to look rich. A hired car, a borrowed suit, and told his parents he was doing great. And I'm just going to read two short poems from that sequence. They're poems about loneliness, they're poems about unreality. One is Litter Ó Bhaile, Letter from Home. Ig seacht a seo hagan fear fuist, Éiríonn Poygene ag cuí chun, is éisteann le gíoscán an Yatha, Sillean na litreacha mar ghuiileog a fóir, Beran Poygene orthús ó le muidin sibh talamh, Deascan átha na maidne, Deir Poygene go muin an tanamh, as na litreacha a chur in óir agus na tionóil da eile, Bíonn an lab a fóir nó a haon sé arís in áir de spéire. The postman comes at 7, Poygene gets up at 5:02, listens for the creak of the gate, hears the letters fall like autumn leaves. He catches them before they reach the floor, all part of the morning ritual. He likes to sort the letters for the other tenants, he says, but the bed is cold when he goes back upstairs. Thuras Ó Bhaile, Journey Home. Hamoin Poygene a while at Dunnolig. In Lushdan a miacha gobeg duras an tepein is na rahi derig fos a teach dushdach an yata. Chynig sin a caipe si yon a shintach cairola I volat gadaen I boga askele a yakil harmig. Homecoming. Poygene drove home for Christmas in a car whose front bumper was touching the front door of the church while the back wheels were still coming in the gate. He kept the documents from the hiring agency deep down in the inside pocket of his borrowed jacket. And I'm going to finish with a light poem called Rule Britannia. While I was in London in the early 90s, it was the time when the Channel Tunnel was being dug. And while we were over there, at one stage on the news, we saw that the French had made their way through to meet the English under the sea. And they all shook hands, and there was great celebration because the tunnel, the final breakthrough had been made. And the newsreader that evening led on to the insert, the film insert, and when it came back to him, he said, I'm not sure if it was tongue-in-cheek or not, but he looked perfectly serious as he said, isn't it wonderful that the continent is no longer isolated? So, for him, I'm going to finish up with Rule Britannia. Dol Francaig agus Sassanaig champagne i daun tichéile, hias fwy hoen namara, on lager os gliog yn balachwr, o vorain hasna gyr hilani na horapa. I bleasgan a caelig y derig, fi ffosgat, the spawnig, idolig, Francaig elevesig, the winter illa on ilain, is delgha the chanadar, God save the Queen. The French and English drank champagne together deep down under the sea the day they opened up the new route from the continent of England to the little iron island of Europe. The smashing of the last rock meant freedom for Spaniards, Italians, French, Swiss, for all the people of the island, and together they sang, God Save the Queen. Mm-hmm.